Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Judith, I'm not sure we actually physically have time for the podcast music. It's a very busy week, very, very busy week indeed. I've got a lot to fill you in on.
I know.
So I'm going to cut this. There it goes. It's finished now. Talked all over it. That was annoying of me, wasn't it? How are you?
A bit.
How's my friend? I know you're in Cornwall. How is that for you?
Oh, that's nice for you. It's lovely. I mean, the weather's a bit dismal, although I did manage to see this morning.
You didn't?
Oh, yes, I did. I thought I'd just get that in. The sea isn't too cold at the moment. It is. I mean, they say that it stays warm, and obviously it has been a bit unseasonably warm. So it genuinely wasn't too cold. However, the swell is so bad, I couldn't fucking get out. I mean, seriously.
You weren't by yourself, were you?
Well, I'd sent Mike off for 20 minutes and said, well, you better just come back because it is very rough. And so he did. Well, I think he dawdled a bit, mind you. But anyway, and
he was honestly, there was about the insurance five. Thinking, oh, I don't know whether she's got life insurance. Not sure. I might dawdle a bit more. Did he have to get you out on the end?
Well,
of the
it
stick?
Was touch and go. I tell you, because the thing is, you won't know this, but I'd gone down in these steps. But the thing is, every time I tried to get back on the these stone steps, you know, it was kind of obviously about to throw me on the
Judith,
you know, the
this
concrete.
Is really dangerous. Is this just is. In front of the apartment, in front of the flats?
Yeah. In the harbour. It's in the harbour, which is normally. So I thought, right, I better swim to the. You know, there's kind of staircases that go over those sort of front, you know, they go over down to the boats, don't they? Well, it was quite a long way up. I tell you, I thought, oh Jesus, they're gonna have to
I'm in trouble
me.
Here.
They have
life buoys. They have rings, don't
yes.
they? They have rubber rings
yes.
to throw in.
Yeah, there was
Has
one of
Mike
those.
Mike practiced. Have you done a drill with Mike? I think you should. I think maybe this afternoon before you leave Cornwall. You should do a drill with Mike just to see if he can undo the knots and chuck one in for you. No, that sounds a bit dangerous, Judith, and I think there will be comments. There will be comments people will write in, and you might get a little bit of a telling off, not too much of a telling off, because I know you're still very fragile at the moment.
Yeah,
how is life in Cornwall without poppies?
I mean,
it's very hard.
The trouble is, you know, we used to set off like a little family of three, me and Mike and Poppy, when we came to Cornwall, and she loved it here, and oh my God, some of the walks that she loved. I haven't been able to do her favourite walk yet this week. It's just upset me too much, but I. And, you know, silly things like the kind of lick marks on the passenger window where she would be, you know, is still there. And
you think
always
you,
still
you say that Poppy was licking the window. Are you sure it wasn't you? Was it? Now and again, to Cornwall.
I've still been having such beautiful messages from the gang. I don't know whether you've seen many of them.
I've read them all.
Oh, they're amazing. From people who've lost other pets who, you know, just say, I'm thinking of you so much. And, oh, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And Melissa, who's local to me, who took the photographs of Poppy when she was tiny. She's, you know, professional photographer. She brought round a kind of, you know, a sort of display compilation of some of the best pictures of Poppy. With a lovely message on the front. And I honestly think it's the kindest thing anyone's ever done to me. Completely, you know, she said, I haven't been able to think about anything else. Really, I'll treasure it. I mean, it makes me cry when I look at it, but I will really, really treasure it. And honestly, the gang have been amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, and God, yeah. Melissa has won on the kindness stakes. And Melissa did a really good thing.
Do you think
there's a community, isn't there, amongst, I mean, we have our own community, the older and wider listeners, is, you know, we like to think that there's enormous hundreds and thousands of people listening, but within that community, there is another community of pet people and dog lovers, isn't there? And I think they are the ones that really, really get it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you haven't got a pet,
then you don't really get it. Yeah, I suppose it's like if you haven't got children, you know, there's only a certain amount of talk about children you can take.
You can stick. Yeah. Yes, I do understand the memories, this how a dog can be very entrenched in a place, because I think it's quite similar to going back to June's flat. And I know I've said this before. When I go to June's flat, and I still expect to see her. I still expect her to be in the kitchen making me some bloody soup. Where is she? She's in a nursing home. So that's, and you know, that Phoebe and I have been up there. We'll talk about that a bit later.
Oh, but, yes, I want to hear all about that.
I do understand how people, pets, inhabit a place long after they are no longer there. They are still there.
Yeah,
no, you know, her favourite little seat on the sofa overlooking the sea, where I took the last photo of her and everything. No, you're right. I mean, it's, and gosh, when you talk about June, still, you know, I mean, it's like when you go through the terrible process of sort of, you know, clearing someone's house and unpicking it all. It's somehow things, little things, places, as you say, bits of furniture. Yeah, they are bits of them, and it is hard. But I'm getting there. I am getting there. I kind of told myself when I got here that I would do the walks slowly, you know, one by one that she liked. As I say, still haven't been able to do her favourite one. And also not, you know, sort of try and time it. So I say, well, I'm not going to think about it for an hour and then allow myself to think about it.
I think that's very clever. I think that compartmentalizing, even though it sounds like it's an impossible thing to do, I think eventually that does come into play a bit, where you,
I think
there
so,
will be days where it isn't right at the top of your mind from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. There will be other things that distract, and you know you are lucky to have so many distractions in your life. But even so, this is a long process, and nobody expects you to just get over it. I don't expect you to just get over it.
No.
I know that this week you've had some bad days with, and the side effect for you is not being able to concentrate on things.
Two things happened to me this week, okay, which I'm despair of myself, and maybe it is some sort of grief kind of brain fog. But okay, so get this. So I cycle into Whitney, you know, as I do a lot on my e-bike, right, on Sunday, and potter about and everything. It's starting to get dark. I think, oh shit, better get back.
Yeah.
Go to unlock the padlock that I've put on the bike, and I got the wrong fucking key for the wrong padlock, right? Somehow or other, I brought the wrong padlock. We have to drive all the way back to that dark, you know, rummaging all the drawers, you know, that ghastly kitchen drawer with all the crap in it. You know, I found one key which said spare bike, you know, bike lock key. Drive it all the way back to Whitney. It's the wrong key. I've obviously picked up, God knows how, a padlock that doesn't match with one.
Oh, you put the wrong padlock on.
Yes,
that's
put the wrong padlock on. Yes, put one that we should have thrown away. Doesn't have a key. We just didn't have a key. Had to ring a locksmith. My first thought was maybe I should ring the fire brigade.
They'd have appreciated that.
Yes. Yeah, and then I had second thoughts. So I thought, right, so I had to get a locksmith out, £65. He came and did it with a saw, your electric saw, battery operated saw, all that. 2 hours and hours and hours waiting for him outside Lakeland, you know. Oh, my life ticking away. Eventually then Mike has to come back and we have to put it in the car, and then So that happened. Okay, that happened on the Sunday, right?
Yeah.
On the Monday, I used Mike's bike.
Why?
Fucked. Well, because I often have to, you know, because my battery's down, it's all, all in
got
a mess,
you, got you. Yeah,
all
yeah.
that. So I go in, and Sienna's staying with us for a bit. So I cycle in, and the idea was Mike would cycle back, meet them for a cup of coffee. And for some reason, I needed my bike key. I thought, well, I can't find my bike key. He'll turn up. After about an hour, I'll get back to the bike. They've gone home. I can't find the bike key. I've lost now not just the padlock, but the key to the bleeding bike, okay?
This is with Mike's bike as well.
Mike's bike, yeah. So I you probably don't know about e-bikes, but
I do, Judith, I do. You underestimate me. Do you remember we were lent the e-bikes and you were the only one that bought one afterwards? And I'm like, you must be fucking joking. This thing weighs a ton and I've got no room in my house.
Well,
and also I was scared of it. Yeah, I was scared of it, Judith. It ran away with me down the hill. Yeah, I whizzed up the hill and then I went down the hill too fast and I felt sick and frightened. So anyway, so you've kind of lost Mike's, it's Mike's bike padlock and key. You've lost Mike's key.
So now we can't unlock Mike's padlock, nor can I start the e-bike, even if I... And so in the end, we had to leave it there overnight, we're not paying another 65 quid for another locksmith. So we had to leave it there overnight. I took the seat off and I took the battery off and all that stuff. And you know, e-bikes are very stealable, so it was a bit nerve-wracking. Yeah. Went back the next day with the guy who does our sort of DIY and gardening.
Did you let its tyres down? You could have let its tyres down as well. Oh, and could have maybe covered the seat with dog shit. I don't know.
How could I do this? I mean, do you know what? If it had been the other way round Mike had done it. Imagine? If he'd even just done it once, I'd have been absolutely furious. But twice, what is wrong with me?
If he'd done that and he'd gone swimming in the sea and he was struggling to get out on the steps, you wouldn't have come back for him. You wouldn't have done. He'd just left him there.
I'd have dawdled quite badly.
He's been very good. Has he been very
patient? Oh, he's been amazing. He's been amazing. He really has.
And so where was the bloody key?
Hasn't turned up. Just no idea. Has not. No, Mike, bless him, retraced my steps in the afternoon, all the way back my route.
Yeah, but he'd have done man looking. He wouldn't really, you know, he'd have just done it just to appease you, really. I mean, it's really kind, but, you know, can you imagine? Can you imagine them really looking for a key?
You're right. Man looking. It's Jeff like that with. It's Jeff like that with man looking.
I wouldn't even start. Well, the thing is, this would never happen to us because we're both so bloody bone idle. The idea of either of us having a bike or padlocks or anything. Do you know, that was the other thing that really put me off having the e-bike because, as you say, they are really stealable. And yeah, I remember once taking it down to East Dulwich and I tried to lock it up some railings outside the East Dulwich picture house.
Oh, yeah.
And it was such hard work. It was just, you know, wrangling this great big lock out and then the padlock and all this kind of thing. And in the end, and then the key got a bit stuck in there and I had to get a man out to help me. And by this point, I just wanted to kick it, you know.
Yeah,
I have got the bike at Jean's. I didn't use it this weekend, obviously, because I haven't got a baby seat.
You had your hands full. Absolutely. Now, come on then. So we want to know all about this. I saw the beautiful photographs of Phoebe and Arlo on that hotel bed. I mean, really lovely composition. Well done. And just
Totally accidentally. They were mucking about. And he did, at one point, I just sort of clicked away for not quite a long time, about 10 seconds when they were sort of just romping around on this bed. And, but at one point he did fart in her face. He did this massive, massive right in her face. I mean, a complete stinker. Well, not that stinky because he's loud though. And honestly, there's a bit of him where I think you're very like your great grandfather. My father was a farter. And I just think there is a bit of Hargreaves in him. You know, my father's name. There's a little bit of that. And he's just a very dear little chap. I mean, he's terribly patient with us. Because I'm quite useless, to be quite honest.
Go on then. Tell me what some of the useless things you've done.
Well, for start, the whole thing, we've been away a lot. Jeff and I were in Glasgow last week and then we came back from Glasgow. And I'll talk about that later. And I have to say, Glasgow has got one of the loveliest art galleries in the world. And it's Kelvin Grove. If you're in Glasgow and you've never been to Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum, get yourself down there now because you can also have a haggis bonbon for your lunch with a whiskey sauce.
Well, slow down. Slow down.
There's a lot to tell you this week, Judith.
Wait a minute. A haggis bonbon? What's that?
Well, I think I've seen them on MasterChef before, once or twice.
Yeah.
Well, they're lollipop shaped, aren't they? They're a bobble of haggis.
Oh, and they're probably
yeah, A bobble of haggis served in a whiskey sauce, which I'm not fond of whiskey. I don't think me and spirits really mix. You know, I'm bad enough on the dry white wine, but I really can't do whiskey. And that, even when it's cooked, I just not. I kind of think, oh no, I'm going to go out and start fighting with somebody if I'm not careful. So I won't do that. But so to get back with it, so that was the Glasgow trip, of which I'll tell you a bit more later. But okay, the big trip up north, the big push up north, involved, well, for starters, I just knew, Judith, and we spoke about this, I think, on the podcast last week, where you warned me, you said, you need a rucksack. Didn't you remember
don't
that?
Tell me you didn't take one. Don't tell me.
I did exactly what I said I was going to do, which is I phoned my sister, my older sister, Sarah. I said, Sarah, have you got
your
rucksack?
Can
I borrow your rucksack? And she said, I'll sort this out. Her son, Jasper, he's got it at the moment. I thought, oh, God, that sounds like it's going to be a proper rucksack, you know, because Jasper likes a walk now and again.
Yes.
And a tent. Anyway, I sent a message to Jasper saying, before, you know, you flog this thing round, send me a photo. And this photo came through. It was my worst nightmare. It was like the rucksack from hell. It would have stood up to my hip level. Right? It was one of those really long ones. I think it had a frame inside.
Like an A-frame, like a Sherpa.
Like a long, like a Sherpa. It had like loads and loads of pockets on them. The sort of pockets that, you know, that you can put flares in if you get stuck on the side of a mountain.
Well, it's sounding quite useful to me for 3 days with Arlo, to be honest.
To be quite honest, you have to have some flares in your pocket. But I just thought, I can't be fucked with this. But fortunately, before I left Glasgow, I had a sudden rush of blood to my head. You know how mean I am usually, but I just went mad in Oliver Bonas at Glasgow train station. Thank you very much. I fucking love train stations. Can I just say, a well-equipped and, you know, lots of nicky-nacky-new shop train stations. I really enjoy them. And because there are, honestly, most of them train stations, they're quite architecturally interesting, apart from Euston, which is shit. Of which more later. So anyway, I bought a black leather I don't think it's real leather, £50 rucksack from Oliver Bonas, and it is big enough for two nights, Judith.
If bloody you roll your hell pants well up. Done you
if
took my advice
you roll your pants up. Yeah, of course I did.
Very
I knew
good.
That I needed both hands free, so I bought a rucksack. I had my saddlebag bag around my neck, and I had my turmeric yellow foraging bag for Marks and Spencer trips and all this sort of thing, and then I was able to take the buggy. Phoebe had, I've never, honestly, she cannot pack light. I don't know what is wrong with that woman. She's a very intelligent woman. And yet, I mean, when she undid her suitcase and Arlo's clothes fell out, literally, it looked like we were taking him away for 6 months. There were at least seven jumpers. Anyway, it doesn't matter because baby clothes are quite small. But anyway, she did overpack for Arlo. We just had this sort of... We got lucky. I just want to say thank you to the many people who helped us on this 3-day jaunt, because it was 3 days of catching trains.
That's a big thing to do, Jenny. Without, you know, not on a car, with trains and presumably lots of changes. That's bloody impressive.
Yeah, it was quite a big effort, but we couldn't have done it without strangers stepping in now and again,
really?
And picking the buggy up and putting it on the train and that sort of thing. Anyway, we get into Euston, and of course, you know, Arlo needs a nappy change, and there's a huge queue for the women's loos in Euston.
Oh, I mean, there always
is. It's about 120 people. Some Euston staff just whisked us through. I have never felt like Mariah Carey. I mean, seriously. And we're shown to this special sort of disabled lavatory, and there's a baby change in there. I go in with her, and you pull the thing down. I have to say, the mat, the actual plastic mat that you changed the baby on, had seen better days. And as we pulled it down, there was a soggy biscuit that came away. And on the way back, the same thing happened, and Phoebe was shown into this... I think it was a disabled toilet. And this is another thing that makes me very angry on behalf of disabled people. She said it was so dirty. It was... Nobody had cleaned it that day. And, you know, it just... She couldn't change the baby in it. It was too dirty to change the baby in it.
I know what you mean.
Just distressing.
It is distressing, I know. In fact, the last time I did... I did... I changed one of the twins in a motorway service thing, and it was a similar. You think, oh God, I don't want to touch this, let alone the baby. And I think what I did is, I might have got some paper towels or something, but it is outrageous.
And tried to clean it for them. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it is. It's not right, is it? That's not.
No,
right,
not really.
Actually.
But we got there anyway, and people did help us up on the train and that sort of thing, and we got to Manchester because Phoebe had to go to this works lunch thing, this playwriting thing. It was an awards do, and so we shagged this hotel room. I have to say, Motel One in Manchester, very good breakfast, Judith. I nearly phoned you. I took a photograph and phoned you. Because it was very Scandi. It was a very Scandi breakfast.
Oh,
there was a bowl of hard boiled eggs sitting in sea salt and pepper, which I like. I like that as a look. And a lot of different breads, salamis, pastramis, etc., cheeses, etc. I was in my element. But we spent the night, and I don't know whether you've done this yet, and it'd be much harder with twins. So we had me, Arlo and Phoebe in this hotel room.
With the travel cot, presumably.
Well, I'd said, please may we have a travel cot. And to give them their credit, and they were very nice staff. There were two really nice women in there trying to put this travel cot up, and it was a bitch, you know, like some travel
cots. They're all bitches, actually. They're all bitches.
I bought a really expensive one, right, that isn't a bitch. But it was far too expensive. But it is light and it isn't a bitch to put up. That's the only thing I can say about it. I can't remember the brand name now. And why should I? They haven't given us any money. So, but this one was impossible. And between nobody could do it. So fortunately, we bought a bassinet as well. This is why I really did need the rucksack, Judith, because Phoebe had
a bassinet.
A
How
bassinet.
Did you get that in your rucksack?
Well, I didn't know, you fool. Of course it wasn't in the rucksack. Bassinet, it was, you know, one of those big straw ones that they have when they're first born.
Oh, yeah, like a Moses basket. Okay.
Like a big Moses basket. Right. Which we had in a couple of black bin liners because, you know, you can never trust the weather.
God.
So we bought that with us because obviously we needed a car seat as well. So the buggy was in car seat mode. Although, God, there'll be some people really turning off by now. Sorry, this is quite boring. But in the end, our evening in the hotel, think, well, there's a nice looking bar downstairs. You know, it'd be quite nice to pop down for a cocktail. No, what happens is the baby goes in his bassinet and it's about 7:30. And we're trapped in there. I mean, Phoebe said, you could go out if you want, but you're not. You can't really, can you? So you're just trapped in there with this baby. And she made me watch television in the dark with the sound off and just the subtitles on. So we were just watching Antiques Roadshow. I made her, I thought, well, we're both compromising here. So I made her watch the Antiques Roadshow with the sound off and the subtitles on. It was quite interesting when we were watching Antiques Roadshow as well. A Czechoslovakian vase we have that's on one of the windows in our front room was on the, you know, when they do that best, better, best bit with
Fiona? Yes.
Yeah. There were only two vases. There were two vases, an Italian one and a Czechoslovakian one. And she had to guess which one was worth the most money. And it was the one, the identical one to the one we have on our windows.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No, don't get excited. Worth between £300 and £500.
Oh, well, that's
better than
the eyes.
And the worst thing is, Judith, and I don't know whether I should tell you this on live on air, because I think we'll get quite a lot of people sticking their oars in. It was a gift from a friend. And I don't think she had any idea how much it was worth. And I'm now lie there thinking, Should I tell her? I haven't seen her for a while, but I do miss her. I'd love to see her. Should I tell her and give her the vase back? On the other hand, it was a gift. What do you do? Anyway, we'll just get over that. He's a very patient baby. We had a really good time. And meeting June, taking him to see my Auntie Eileen, who's 96 and blind. And, you know, she had him on on her knee, and in some respects it was good she couldn't see Phoebe's face because she was quite tense, was Phoebe at this point. And she looked like she was playing netball. She was like hovering, ready to catch. and then we walked him round to June's in the home, and it was very sweet. I mean, June wasn't kind of, she didn't go overboard because she's never been a sentimental woman, but that she did hold him, she felt his feet, she said he was beautiful. I'm not sure whether she still thought he was mine. But there were some lovely moments within it. Wow. Really, really lovely, very touching. Lots of, and the photographs actually capture those feelings more than I was appreciating them at the time, because I was kind of quite anxious about it. But looking at the photographs, I can see how touched she is by having the baby on her knee. There's an expression on her face that means a lot to me now, because I can look at it on the photograph. And in the moment, I was sort of too het up to enjoy what was happening, just in case it all went wrong. And we had a couple of a few minutes of lucidity. June at one point told Phoebe how to make a Charlotte Russe. and mimed putting sponge fingers round the side of a dish. Yeah. Gosh. And Arlo was very good, but then he fell asleep. But I do find him very gratifying. He's very easy. And it was all going so well, Judith. It was all really great. And then we got to, I'll just finish this very quickly, God in heaven. We got to Preston Station for the return train back to London. Yeah. Well, I've got seats booked on the 3 o'clock train. The 2 o'clock train has been delayed. We are there in time to catch it. Are we allowed to catch it? Will my train ticket cover it? I don't know. I'm in a sweat now. And then I check my train line thing app and it says any return permitted. So I say, yes, we can get it. At this point, Judith, I did the worst thing I could possibly do. I ran backwards with the buggy whilst turning a corner and it tilted. It tilted so much. It tilted so much that he couldn't have been out of the pram because he was strapped in, but he could have gone over and he could have landed on his face. Oh. Phoebe at this point panicked and said that I could never have him again. And my response to this as a 62-year-old woman was to kick her suitcase. And tell her she could pay for the fucking train tickets if it transpired that we weren't allowed on this fucking train. So this is ugly. This is an ugly moment. And at this point, a man comes out from behind the counter at Upper Crust or whatever it is in Preston Station and holds the doors open for us and really tries to help because he knows that this is gone a bit far. Anyway, we managed it, and I'm terribly, terribly pleased that we did. So there we go.
Oh, it's that, yeah. I mean, well, bloody well done, Jenny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So are you going to be allowed to look after Arlo again? Of course you are. I bet that didn't last long.
I think
a bit of a foolish threat, I have to say. Bit of a on Phoebe's part. Very short-term threat.
It was a real lesson that buggies don't do, they're not that ergodynamic. They can't, you can't drag them any which way without thinking, it could have been awful, Judith. It could have been awful.
Yeah, but it wasn't. And, it could have been a lot worse. I know what you mean, though. We're not used to those buggies. Somehow the ones that we had were very, you could
fling them about, couldn't you?
You could fling them about. Exactly. Yeah. So, no, I do get that. But, I know.
Well, you can't fling around a double buggy anyway.
Oh, I can't fling. I mean, I tell you what, it's bloody hard work. They came to stay for 2 days. And
was that two nights, Judith? Was that two nights?
Two nights. Yeah. Within time, one of my bike problems happened, you know, so it was all a bit frantic. But it was it's very, very nice to have them stay. It really is. And they're just starting to take notice of each other, which is gorgeous. But you are not ready for them to go home. I mean, it is exactly what other grandparents have said to me. You kind of are thinking, right, well, I'm just getting back straight, you know, watching the telly, just the two of us.
Okay, I'll just do a little bit about Glasgow, because I'm in danger of missing out on Glasgow.
Yes.
Because that was my other big trip last week, took the old man up to Glasgow. Not going to talk about the TV thing, not only because I'm not allowed, but I actually humiliated myself on a scale that I still look back and the insides of my stomach just turn and churn, and I feel like I'm going to wet myself, throw up and shit myself at the same time. It's one of the worst experiences I've ever had. It's literally a mind blank thing where if someone had asked me at that point what my name was, I could not have answered. Anyway, I know, and I just want to. I'm really sorry. I'm not going to say what it was or when it's.
It was a quiz show.
Oh, yeah. Don't even say the word.
Oh dear, Jenny.
I know, and I think if I was a lot younger, I wouldn't have gone out of the house since. I'd still be really licking my wounds. But yeah, you have to go. I know I'm not a stupid woman, only sometimes I am.
And well, we all are. Come on, no, we all are.
This was a level of stupidity where people at home will be... No, Judith.
I doubt it. I doubt it, Jenny.
I promise you, people will be going, Jesus, fuck. Seriously.
Well, I know, but come on, we'll all crumple it. I mean, it's bad enough when you do the local fucking pub quiz, isn't it?
Well, this is it. I've realised now that I'm just... Suddenly, the pressure gets to me and I...
Yeah.
It was like an out-of-body experience, actually.
Oh, God.
And then I got really angry, bitter and resentful, and I kind of wanted to smash up the studio, which isn't a very good response to...
It's not a great look, no.
No.
Do you think they'll be able to cut around it?
I don't know, Judith. I don't know.
They will. Oh, no, but I think people will be endeared. You know,
I don't. No, I genuinely don't, because I just played the game so badly as well. So not on top of being stupid, I also ruined a round kind of thing. Anyway, let's move along.
That's exactly what I would have done. I bet you did better than I would have done. I'm a liability when it comes to it, I know what you mean.
Yeah. In fact, I'd quite like us to do, you know, one of those pointless celebrities or whatever, or just a quiz show together. Just so, I remember doing one with Linda Robson, and we were both absolutely clueless about, and we were on Pointless together, and neither of us knew anything. We didn't know what they were talking about, and we didn't really know how to play the game, but we were so thrilled to see each other. And we were quite glad to have an early bath, get back to the dressing room and have a nice chat. But that's not really the point of them. Anyway, move along. So, like, because I know you're in Cornwall and you've got a friend to meet in town, so I'm going to ask you about food sensations this week.
Well, I tell you what, we've just had an early lunch, very civilised, at the Maker Heights Canteen, which do you remember that place?
Delicious
food, absolutely delicious food. And do you know what I've had? I've had lamb's liver with mash and the best cabbage I've ever had. And so it was like a posh school dinner, you know, very posh dinner.
Yeah.
Which suits me down to the ground, I tell you. Lots of mustard. And I should be thinking about it for a long time. But I said, as we paid, I said, can you tell me how you've done the cabbage? And so I'm saying this because it was so sensational. Finely grated, which for you, finely shredded, which for you,
what colour
without
cabbage?
A blender... Green, sort of some dark green and some... Well, that's a stupid answer, isn't it? Green. Some light green and some...
because you have white cabbage and red cabbage, so this is
That's true.
Frilly cabbage. Is it the frilly cabbage?
I think it was frilly cabbage and the non-frilly cabbage, probably a mixture.
Okay.
Now, you won't be able to do this unless you do it with a cheese grater, because you haven't got a bleeding blender. And do you know what that is exactly? I'm not going to buy you one. You won't use it.
No, so I won't use it. I haven't got room for one. Don't want one.
No, it's wasted on you. But anyway, so shredded in a blender, and then fried in oil, garlic and butter, just very, very lightly. Just fantastic. So not boiled at all, but fried.
Fried cabbage. Were there caraway seeds in it?
No, nothing like that. Just garlic, butter and oil, apparently.
Okay.
God, it was good. I tell you what, it was good.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll have a look at that. Someone in the supermarket, I'll have a look at the choice of cabbages.
Oh, it might be shredded up. Oh, yes, you might.
Yeah,
you
might. There might be a bag-o cabbage.
Oh, yes, there might be. You might be in
The only interesting thing I have eaten in the last week was the haggis bonbons at the very, very good Kelvin Grove. We'll mention that again in Culture Corner Calvin Grove is great. But apart from that, Judith, when we were in hotel rooms, Jeff and I were in a hotel, and it was on the sort of edge of Glasgow. It was a bit like in London, it would be a bit like being near the O2. It was near an exhibition centre where they do big gigs. And it was like a bit of an industrial estate. There were no shops nearby. You couldn't go out and get yourself a cheeky bottle of wine to have in the room. So every time you had a bottle of rum from the bar, it cost £27 for a very, very average bottle of Pinot Grigio. And we had a takeaway on a couple of nights because it just wasn't, you know, the restaurant wasn't.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
And so, but, you know, in the old days, if you took a takeaway into a hotel, they'd really frown at it, wouldn't they? They'd have really thought that it was the slummiest thing that you could do.
Yes, that's interesting. I think you'd have gone past reception, because, of course, nobody would have brought it to you in those days. Sort of slunk. You'd have slunk past.
You'd have slunk.
Into the lift.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'd have had it under your coat. You'd have really done everything you could do. And then what you'd have done once you'd eaten it is you'd have popped the packaging sort of seven doors along, pretended it was someone else's. That's what I'd have done.
Yes, me too. Me too.
Because it would have just felt a very rude thing to do. Like you were rejecting the hotel's. Absolutely. But these days they kind of encourage it. They go, so you're having a takeaway. Oh, yeah, the place over the road is quite good. But, you know, it was odd. And I'm not a big fan of takeaways, to be quite honest. I don't think you get your money's worth. And I think that they vary as well from place to place. If you get, you know, you can do a Nando's in one place and it can be quite acceptable. And you get it somewhere else and it's a completely different meal.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. A disappointing takeaway is very, very disappointing. And they're not cheap. We had a Thai takeaway the other night with five of us. And it was £100. You just think,
well, that's only £20 each, Judith.
Well, we only had one course. We only had one course. And obviously a stack of those prawn crackers came. I love them. I love them. In fact, I'd be quite happy with just a great mound of them. A great pyramid of them.
Yeah, perfect. And a little bit of chili dipping sauce. This is, but I mean, we can't even go near the cost of living at the moment because everybody is suffering, and we are incredibly lucky, you and I, in actual fact, that we can.
But I'm still putting things back, aren't you? And the
shelf,
I'm still picking
so
them up,
much so.
Them back.
Oh, yeah,
really
so much. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And in the past, when I would have thought, well, I might buy that just in case, you know, and it doesn't really matter if I. If I end up throwing it away, say like a pot of watermelon or something like that, an extra thing. I'm not doing those extra things anymore
I'm not. I'm not. It's very. I mean, as you say, and we're
we've
got lots of
relatively
people.
Very very fortunate.
Yeah.
So
it's
terrifying. It really is. It's 11% this morning. They said it's gone over 11%. It's horrific. And, you know, Christmas is starting to be pushed in our faces.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
How is anybody going to afford this? And what do you mean, what do you want for Christmas? I can't, just don't even go there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
And the adverts and everything. Actually, though, I must say, nobody approves of Amazon because they don't pay their tax properly. But their advert is, the dad's rather cute.
I just tried to picture the Amazon one. What happens in
You might have to Google it. There's something about a snow globe. I wasn't watching it very... I wasn't intently. Concentrating, to be quite honest.
No, you're allowed not to concentrate on the ads.
Suddenly my head turned and I thought, oh, cute dad. Now, I never think cute dad. I never think like that. Mm. But you might have to Google the Amazon. I might be wrong, but... No, he's a sort of indie-looking dad, and it just sort of, it was interesting and modern. So there we go. Anyway, Judith, you've got places to go and people to meet, so I think we've got to spend the next 5 minutes doing Culture Corner before you go off. Yep. Who are you meeting, by the way? Who's your friend in town?
I'm meeting a very, very nice woman called Stephanie who lives locally and sort of knows Mike of old. So we bumped into them, and they live here, which is very nice, so we know some... some people, you know, some locals kind of makes us feel like we're indigenous a little bit. Okay. I'm going to do that. I've got other friends, you know, Jenny. I have got other friends.
Yeah, I don't really approve it, but there we go. Okay, what is distracting you from, I know, what are some very difficult nights at the moment?
I tell you what I found on BBC Sounds is, you know, that nice doctor, Michael Moseley. He's got this very good thing. Yes, it's called Sleep Better, I think. But is it Sleep Well? That's right. It's called Sleep Well. Okay. And it's sort of got quite soothing. I mean, it's mindfulness plus, really. It's bound to be, isn't it? Everything leads to bleeding mindfulness. But he's talked to lots of experts about just sensible things. I mean, listen, when you can't sleep, and I know you do sleep okay. In fact, you sleep bloody annoyingly well.
I could sleep now, Judith. I could stop this podcast now, and I can guarantee you within ten minutes I'd be asleep. Yeah.
Oh my god, it's such a.
I can do 10 hours easily plus a nap in the afternoon if I want.
But listen, I'm very envious.
I genuinely believe that insomnia can strike anybody at any time. I don't think this is me for life. I think that, you know, I will have my fair share at some point of sleepless nights.
Possibly. And it is debilitating. It really is. But no, he's got some sensible things, you know, what to do when you get up, when you wake up, kind of get up, you know, do something. Just kind of, some sensible approaches. And I would recommend them. If you are an insomniac, not bad. I think there are 5 of them. And I picked up quite a few tips. And sort of reassuring in the sense that, you know,
I think the reassurance is what you need most of all in the middle of the night. Yeah. I think that because that's when the absolute horrors kick in. It really is. It just everything gets completely out of hand. Now, TV-wise.
How would you know, mind you, Jenny and Claire? But yes, so TV-wise, well, we're romping, scampering through The Crown. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we've only got one left and we're sort of saving it like the last one, you know, your favourite chocolate in a box. I think we've got one left, and I'm enjoying it because I would always enjoy it. But I think now that we know that Major has said it was fiction, and Judi Dench, well, I don't know how she knows, but it's kind of lost a little bit of its punch, because I think before I always felt that it was terribly well researched, and it was, you know, there was a lot of very similarity in it, but I'm not sure now. So I'm not as entirely on board. However,
you're not as convinced, but enjoying the romp. I'm enjoying it too. I think we were on 3 or 4, and I'm finding it really good fun. I find Diana kind of hilarious. I think the person running off with the acting kudos though is the Fayed dad, Dodie's dad. He really is extraordinary. He's great. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying everything about it, actually. I think, I'm not sure Dominic West is the ultimate Charles, because he brings a sort of panto dastardliness to it all, which I don't think Charles has really got.
Yes, he's not quite right, is he? I think Prince Philip is very good. Jonathan Price.
Oh, isn't he? Isn't he? And he's being really so kind and good with the Queen. And I think there's a lot. There's still a lot going for it. It's still classier than most stuff.
Oh,
on
it
the
is.
Telly.
It's terrible. I mean, it is. You know, the hour passes very quickly. But Diana, it's uncanny. I mean, we just watched the one where she does the Bashir interview, and there are times when you think, well, wait a minute. Is that the real footage? She looks so much like her.
Yeah, it is. It's sometimes it's a bit too much, and you just think, okay, you are allowed to look up occasionally because she does spend the entire thing with her neck kind of at an angle.
She does. Like an angle poised lamp, somebody said in the Sunday Times.
I hope she's getting a massage after every day of filming. Because there was a bit of me at one point where I thought, God, it's a bit like going to a really good version of Madame Tussauds. You know, if Madame Tussauds was good and the statues actually looked like the people, it'd be a bit like being trapped in Madame Tussauds and the whole Windsor wing suddenly came to life. It's you know, kind of terrifying in some
respects. It's a terrifying image, actually. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. But it's great. It is. I mean, it's great telly. It's great telly.
Yeah. We're also enjoying Making the Cut, which I said last week was on Amazon Prime. Don't trust anything when it comes to TV platforms. When Judith and I say it's on Netflix, it's often on that.
Probably
Amazon
be on
Prime,
something else.
Prime. Yeah, absolutely. Or Disney Plus, whatever. You will have to do your own research with that. Very sorry about it. Did you go and see Living, the film?
Yes, we did.
What did you think?
Well, Mike enjoyed it very much. I did enjoy it. I'd had a bad night the night before. And I do tell you what, we went to this View cinema, you know, and they had seats that were like club class flying.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's nice, isn't it?
Have you been to a cinema like that? Have you been to one?
Well, the East Dulwich one has really comfortable seats. And it's not a View, it's a picture house. And they have twosome seats at the back, you know, like a sofa, which a couple can go on. And that's really nice. But even the bog standard ones in the middle, you can put them back like you are flying in a very comfortable class.
Absolutely. These had flip-up things, you know, where you literally...
No, they don't have those, but I know the kind of thing. Yeah, really comfortable.
Recliners.
They have to these days, don't they, Judith? Because otherwise, what is the point? What's the point in going to the cinema? They have to make it really comfortable and a bit of an event. Otherwise, everyone will just wait until it's on the telly.
That's true. So, yeah, unfortunately, I was so comfy. I think I drifted off and missed quite a lot of the plot. But like you said, I really enjoyed the 50s colour and some of the archive footage of London in the late 50s, I presume.
Yeah.
Of, you know, the Routemaster buses and, oh, extraordinary. Yeah. No, I quite liked it, but not that much.
I know, when people sort of start banging on about Oscars, I think, well, really? It's a little film, but there we go. Now, books. Yeah.
Oh, I don't have very much to report. I'm still on the
I don't have much to report. I think I'm going to wait until there's something I really want to bang a drum over, to be quite honest with you. Okay. So I tell you what put me to shame when we're talking about books or sort of not have... I haven't got anything very grown up on the go at the moment. My blind aunt is listening to Hilary Mantel's Bring Up the Bodies. She's 96. Oh, she? Yes.
Right.
And you just think... God, if Eileen can do that, why am I still faffing about with some, you know? Anyway, yes, big thanks to the galleries in Glasgow last week. Kelvin Grove, I've already mentioned, and also the Burrell Collection, both world class. But I did particularly like the Kelvin Grove. I think it's got such atmosphere there. And, oh, Judith, they have a fabulous organ in this art gallery and museum, massive, great fuck-off organ. And at lunchtime, somebody comes in and does a recital. Now, you know me, I don't even like music that much. I don't really get it, and you know, proper classical, that sort of stuff. But, oh, just the sound that came out of this thing.
Do you mean like a church organ? A church
classical
organ?
Bigger than that, a massive, great fuck-off organ.
Oh, I love an organ.
Like a cathedral organ, the size of a cathedral organ, yes.
Fantastic.
The sort of thing, Westminster Abbey kind of size.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm a huge fan of the Scottish colourists, and there's a room in Kelvin Grove dedicated to the Scottish colourists, and my heart just leapt, it really did. And I was seeing the real pictures of things that I've only seen on screen, you know, as a photograph. And it, yeah, really, really great. So that was a wonderful day before I spoiled it all. We have had some, as you said, some lovely emails about Poppy.
Yeah, we've had some great emails, as ever. So did you see the one from Camilla, 74 and a third, brackets, not the Queen? I was a bit disappointed to discover it wasn't that.
It would be
Camilla.
Great if the Queen consort was one of our listeners.
Wouldn't it just?
Oh. Yeah. We'd give her a key ring. Mind you, we just have to warn you, our merchandise store is not working properly at the moment. We are on it, everybody. And we very much want things to get going in time for Christmas. So don't leave it to us. If you're trying to get stuff from our merch shop and you're struggling, we do know about it. So thanks for flagging that up.
Right.
OK, what's Camilla got to say?
So she says, having been with you through the Vagisan years, the coal slant debates and well on into COVID and lockdown... I think it's time I thank you for the pleasure older and wider has given me. It's very nice, isn't it?
The pleasure is ours.
She says, long may you chunner, I don't think I know what chunner is, chunter and comfort each other and us with warmth and the medicine that is laughter. Thank you very much, Camilla, not the Queen.
Well, chunner isn't a compliment particularly, but we'll take it as well.
Is it not?
No, it just means it's the same as witter. It's witter. It's
okay. Well, that's all right. I don't mind.
Yes, we are witterers. We're absolutely...
It's fine.
But Queen witterers. And I just want to... I've had quite a few responses on the Instagram notice board to the ironing board I put up, because Jeff went out, bought us a new ironing board. And several of our listeners contacted us to say that their mothers in the 50s bought ironing boards that came with a seat.
Gosh,
can you imagine anything better? there's a still
brilliant
going.
Idea.
What a brilliant idea. Why are we going backwards, Judith? We're going backwards.
We are.
We're not going forwards. You know, ironing
board. I love the idea of of being able to iron with it sitting down.
Sitting down.
Brilliant idea.
Absolutely. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so thank you for that.
We should launch one.
I tell you. The zip up travelling cot. That one.
Yes. Oh, yes. Don't you worry. I'm keen. Yeah, that's proper merch. That would be proper merch, wouldn't
keep
it?
Keep a note. Right, Judith, I'm going to release you to go see your friend because you're going to be a bit late. You're going to have to text and say sorry and it was my fault.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
And we'll be back to Channa and Witter some more next week. I hope you have some happy moments and I will see and speak to you very soon. Okay. Lots and lots
Lovely.
Of love.
Yeah.
And
lots of love,
love
Jenny.
To you, Daisy, too. Yeah. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week.
Toodle-pip, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.